Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
All right, so I need to explain for all the people back there why I invite you forward for the scripture reading and this show and tell that comes right before it. And the first reason is the scripture reading. Because I really want you, and I'm just going to let them overhear this part, I really want you as kids to know that these stories in this Bible are your stories. So I want you to know that these stories are something that we want you to get to learn and think about and ask questions about, because this is one of the big ways that we in church learn about God. Now, that's just the first reason. There's more. The other reason that I invited you forward this morning is that I wanted to make sure you know about these. These are worship participation cards. McKenna and Caitlin, want to flip us one slide forward here? This way everybody else back there should be able to see them. Yes! So we have these worship participation cards. These are available on the little shelf right inside the back door of the sanctuary. And these are here to help you stay connected to what's going on during worship. So they give you something to look for and listen for and think about. Because as you well know, we do weird stuff in worship, don't we? Like, we do stuff in worship that you don't normally do. Like, we stand up and we all sing and we say prayers. And we read this Bible together. Now, you may do all of those things sometimes, right? But we do all of this all together, and we say these responses to things that happen, and that can be kind of hard to keep track of. And so to help you feel comfortable and connected in worship, we've got these worship participation cards. And what you get to do with these is you can fill these out, have an adult with you sign that you have done these things as you checked them off. And then in the fellowship hall, we have a prize table. And so you can see up there on the screen, you see what the prize table looks like, both in its closed form and in its open form. The open form is how you get to the prizes inside. So what you get to do, fill this out. There's a plastic container right there. You can drop your worship participation card in so that Laura and I and everybody else can see that you were here and actively involved today, and then help yourself to a prize from the treasure box. And there are two different versions. So if you are a confident reader, we've got this double-sided pink card that has more information, things that you can read and write down. And if you are not as confident a reader yet, we've got this nice green one that you can have a grown-up help you read if you want help reading it, and you'll get to know what these things are. So this is things like greeting people during the passing of the peace, being up here to listen to and follow along with the scripture reading, or following along with the scripture reading back in your seat, saying the Lord's Prayer with us, that sort of thing. And so you're keeping track of what we read, what we say, what we sing, what we talk about, what we pray about, and who is here with you. Grown-ups, you might find some of that helpful too. So I recommend the pink ones, but the green ones are perfectly fine. So we are not biased in terms of your reading level here. But this is really a way to help us kind of bring our whole entire self to worship and put our whole attention and our whole interest in God's stories. So I just wanted you to know about all of that cool stuff. All right? Let's listen to one of God's stories here. I think Anne's got something to share with us.
My mom once told me that when I was a child, I pretended to have a church meeting and I said, "Let's open the meeting with the benediction." Well, today we were supposed to open with the introit, and I missed it, so William's going to play it at the end after the benediction, so I'm doing things in reverse again. Let us pray. God of mercy, your promises are always sure through your Holy Spirit. Speak your eternal word to us. Then let us respond to your gracious promises with lives of hope and faithfulness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 through 8, 17b through 22, and 26 through 34, pages 42 and 43 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes. He returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and I, where can I turn?" Then they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in blood. They had the long robe with sleeves taken to their father, and they said, "This we have found. See now whether it is your son's robe or not." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. A wild animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned his son for many days. The word of the Lord.
The nice thing about not having the show and tell listed in the bulletin is that there's no limit on how many of them I can have. So here's another one for you. You may recognize this building. This is the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. And that wreath up there marks the balcony where Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was killed. And down there in the bottom center of it is a stone plaque with Dr. King's dates on it, including April 4th, 1968, when he was there in Memphis to organize the sanitation workers. And he was there organizing the sanitation workers across racial lines to resist the way that racism works to cover up economic oppression. And they killed him for it. This plaque is here actually because of a connection with today's scripture reading, and this was brought up by Reverend Dr. Matthew Skinner, who is a professor of New Testament, and talked about the way that Dr. King's dream disrupted the white supremacist logic of scarcity, the idea that there is not enough blessing to go around, and the way that that white supremacy reacted to that logic with violence. which is what we hear in today's story, this logic of scarcity, that there is not enough blessing to go around, and the response is violence. So this plaque actually quotes today's scripture reading in the King James, which is what Dr. King preached from, and so it says, "They said to one another, behold, here cometh the dreamer, let us slay him." Which is to say that this stone plaque calls on us as white Christians to recognize that if we insist that we are siblings in Christ, then we have to reckon with the way that we are like Joseph's siblings in today's scripture reading. Today's scripture reading begins a three-week series from a schedule of readings, also known as a lectionary, that looks at the Old Testament in the fall to sort of set up how we will read the New Testament beginning at Christmas through Easter. And the idea is to give us a sense of the whole great big story of the Bible. But I know that the Bible is too big for us to just sort of walk right into. And so we break this down into some more approachable story arcs. So this is kind of like a TV series. You get little pieces of story that build on each other. And so we've got this 3 weeks that we're going to spend with Joseph, this guy in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat up here, or the translation we had this morning is a long robe with sleeves. And the guiding idea in this story is, how do we have hope in the midst of really complex times? But this story doesn't work in like exactly three tidy lessons. It doesn't sort of just hang together neatly and tidily like that. Hope is a lot more important in the midst of chaos and confusion anyway. And so this story kind of brings us into some chaos and some confusion, just like most of life does. Which is to say, if your bulletin says, "Trust who we are," that's a title for the beginning part of the story, not so much an answer to how to have hope, although it goes toward that. In fact, Joseph's brothers would say that who he is the problem. He's daddy's favorite, and he dresses a little bit too fabulously for everybody else, and he's not a swarthy shepherd out working in the fields along with everybody else. And, you know, honestly, I will grant his brothers some irritation that, okay, he had this amazing dream from God about they're all binding sheaves in the field, and all of a sudden everybody else's sheaf begins worshiping his, which, you know, that's maybe a troubling dream, but Joseph goes and tells it to his brothers, which is just a bad idea, is it not? So if your brother, every time he dreams about becoming your ruler of all 12 of you, tells you about that, that is just honestly a little much. But I also feel for Joseph. I feel for Joseph and for every kid who isn't understood for who they are. It's not that easy, trusting God's love for you. But God's love and God's promise are related to Joseph's identity as this fabulous dreamer. That identity is going to ground the whole arc of Joseph's story, and it will be hopeful, which is to say it's already hopeful. We just may not be able to see it yet. See, today's story is a mess, isn't it? There's no one in today's story that you should be like. That's not what this story does, but this story is so full of hope that hope just leaks out the seams of this story. In fact, the seams and the gaps in this story are right where hope is. Joseph will tell us later that even though what his brothers did to him was horrific, God was working good through that. I'm not going to give you any more spoilers than that. You have to come back for at least 2 more weeks to find out what happens here. But hope is already present in this story, because after the brothers conspire to kill Joseph and then throw him in the pit, his brothers Reuben and then Judah, one after the other, intervene to keep Joseph's story alive instead. They intervene to keep hope alive. And hope arises in those gaps. Reuben and Judah and these Ishmaelite traders, they all introduce these gaps into the story where hope has some space to arise. Marianne McKibben Dana tells us that hope holds things loosely, holds loosely to the way that we want things to be, to allow room where God can still be at work. God is at work in those things that we hold loosely. Now, I'm a Christian pastor. I'm supposed to talk to you about Jesus. So remember the way that Jesus teaches us too, about holding life loosely. In fact, holding life itself loosely. Jesus tells us to let go of our lives in order to receive them back. And he would know. See, Jesus is kind of like Joseph, isn't he? He gets betrayed and sold and even murdered, so they follow through in his case, by those who should have been like his brothers. And he was thrown into a dry pit and he was left there, but only until the third day, because his story was not over, because there was hope in those gaps in his story, that God was still at work in his story and turned that story, that hopeless story, into the very best of good news. And that's where we find hope. Hope doesn't depend on every detail of every story being absolutely perfect. Hope doesn't depend on us having control over how the story is going to turn out. And it certainly doesn't depend on every human action we take being good. God doesn't have to orchestrate every detail of every moment of every day in order for the story to turn toward the good. And we'll see that with Joseph over the next couple of weeks. We will see. I didn't read you the whole quotation of scripture from that plaque at the Lorraine Motel. It quoted today's reading, "Behold, here cometh the dreamer, let us slay him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And we shall see what will become of his dreams. It's spoken there by Joseph's brothers in a really sinister way, isn't it? But it's quoted on that plaque by the then president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the Reverend Ralph Abernathy. It's quoted by Dr. King's organization to say, "We shall indeed see what will become of his dreams." So it testifies to mourning, it testifies to tragedy and violence, but even more boldly, it speaks of defiance. We shall see what will become of his dreams, what will become of them, such as the Civil Rights Act, such as the Fair Housing Act, such as those echoes of that same movement in Title IX, in the movements for Black Lives and LGBTQ equality and environmental justice, in organized communities of liberation in El Salvador, in the continued bending of that long arc of the moral universe toward justice. These stories aren't done, but that's kind of the point. These stories are just beginning, and there is hope. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
It's a long moment today, because every year at the beginning of the fall, we celebrate everything Covenant does. We celebrate fun stuff like eating donuts together and important stuff like mission, and today is that day. So today we celebrate the many ways that we join in Christ's mission right here. We join in Christ's mission by singing. Our Covenant kids learn music on Wednesday evenings, and they share gifts of music several times throughout the year. This photo was taken on Palm Sunday of last year as our kids were singing. We also feed. We joined Meals from the Heartland's annual Hunger Fight 2 weeks ago and packaged so many meals. We also hosted this year's Cross Outreach Back to School Backpack Packing. We have fun together. Here is a photo from our first annual Wine and Beverage Fest, and it was so much fun that our first annual next year, we're going to have a second annual. And help me out after that.
Weekly.
We also drink coffee or tea, and you can help host us. Just sign up to help host coffee hour after church. We have potlucks, or we will again have potlucks just as soon as the kitchen is all cleaned and repaired and reorganized. We serve together. Summer youth mission trips are back, and we are very excited about that. Here they are at Wildwood Hills Ranch this last summer. Our Covenant kids ring bells and plink xylophones and smack boom whackers and share percussion music with us throughout the year as well. Sometimes we prune together, and remarkably, we have fun because we are doing that together. We offer one of the best vacation Bible school opportunities in town, so join us for another wild adventure next June. Our adults sing too, so again, welcome back to our chancel choir. Here they are, like right above themselves. It's exciting. That could have been like a get over yourself line, right? But I just blew it. All right, where am I? We also ring. Our bells are actually out for service right now. They're getting their occasional rehab, so the actual physical bells will be back with us soon, and the bell choir will resume just as soon as they return. So if you need to give some thought to joining the bell choir, this is your chance to think. We also grow. Our kids and our youth serve in the Faith and Grace Garden twice a year. Adults are welcome to work in the Faith and Grace Garden as often as twice a day if you want to. And I know some of you do. We are also growing into a new mission partnership with Wildwood Hills Ranch, which serves kids at risk with camp and programming and relationships. Here on Sunday mornings, our adults learn about faith issues in today's world, and they dig into stories of the Bible, both of those on Sunday mornings before worship. Who put me in charge? Our kids learn about the Bible and play games and get creative every Wednesday evening starting this week. So this Wednesday evening at 6:30, Covenant Kids will start, and we have a special gathering room for adults starting this year. Our youth group at that same time typically has lots of fun and does a lot of serving, usually every Wednesday evening, but watch your messages because sometimes that moves around a little bit. Our middle schoolers claim faith for themselves in confirmation class every other year, so this was last spring's confirmation class, and we will begin again in fall of 2023 with that. Covenant Presbyterian women, with help some from Covenant Presbyterian men, present a tabletop luncheon every August with fancy decorations and funds to support worthy mission causes, so pay attention for announcements about that coming up 11 months from now. You just missed it. And all of this mission is overseen by our session, which is our board of elders. And every spring we ordain and install those folks to service through leadership. That's just one of the many ways to serve. Our Christian education programs rely on adult volunteers, so you can come participate in Christian education once or every Wednesday evening. We especially like every Wednesday evening. Talk to Laura. Our men's breakfast eats and learns together. We will finish our study of why in October and then move on to, I'm sorry?
Here, here.
Here, here. And the breakfast is even better than that looks. Now, for several years, we have shared in mission with the community of San Isidro outside of Berlin, El Salvador, and we are looking forward to a new delegation to San Isidro soon, we hope, and we support them from here as well. Monthly, many Covenant women gather for lunch. Guess what we call it? There you are. And if you play a musical instrument or you ever have played a musical instrument, you are welcome in Covenant's Holiday Band. That's a one-off event. Mark your calendars for our next performance, December 4th. We also have a faithful and caring group of shepherds who offer extra love and support for Covenant's members. We will celebrate and rededicate those shepherds next Sunday. And we also have several other committees that keep Covenant running: fellowship and finance and property and mission and action and Christian education and worship and music. And remember that many hands make light work when that is committee work as well. We also offer transportation to those who would appreciate some assistance getting to worship or to activities. So contact the church office if you want to help transport people to worship, or if you want help getting to worship. We will connect you from either direction. We also have many volunteers who help make our worship services happen. So we've got volunteers who do technical and audiovisual support. We've got lay leaders. We've got greeters. We have decorating. We have all kinds of roles to help make worship happen in the way that we worship here. We also sew together. Every month, we gather to turn old t-shirts into diapers for our neighbors in Haiti, and there are no equipment or skills necessary. That is not commentary on the people in the picture. Our book club meets to discuss books that they read together. They're now meeting the first Thursday morning of every month, so mark your calendar for the first Thursday of October and join our book club. Covenant Presbyterian women gather for study and fellowship on the second Tuesday morning or the third Tuesday evening of every month, beginning this Tuesday. And if that's not enough, watch the announcement for outings like this next one to see some Iowa Wild hockey. So, we've got service, we've got learning, we've got fun, we've got learning that is fun, we've got service that is learning, we've got service that is fun. We've probably got other combinations of various activities and emotions going on in what we do here at Covenant, but you can see that there is a lot. There is a lot going on here. So to keep up, watch our website, watch our Facebook and Instagram, and make sure you're signed up for that weekly Covenant Corner email. So you always get the latest delivered to your inbox. Whew! Happy Covenant Sunday, everybody.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.